Radio program. It's 503-733-2970. Coming along. Oh, you know, what is today? Today is Wednesday, right? Is that right? Today's Wednesday?
Yep.
Yeah. You know, we haven't, the hell did I even put this? You know, we haven't done in the longest time is we haven't. Let me just for the people because it is the holiday season after all. Let me just. No, that's just the short one. We'll have to remind me to play actually some holiday music as we get to further through this hour. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. In just a moment, Tim Riley returns to the Ministry of Truth. You're just moments away from that. Also, Jim Roop will be calling us from Los Angeles, where Lane Garrison, a man no one ever heard of before last week, has now become our favorite person. So forth. And there's a thing asking me if I want to renew my media parking pass. Do you have a media parking pass?
Not that I'm aware of. I haven't checked. Did you get it in your inbox?
I didn't even get this. It went to Tim. It is that time of year we need to renew our media parking passes. Please review the list below, and if you have or use one of the media passes, please let me know, or it will not be renewed. Do you get the feeling that there's whole sections of things in this company that no one ever tells us about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably could have been parking for free this entire time.
I get the feeling that there's like a whole... Not a meat eating... It doesn't have to do with meat. It's a media... Stop it. I get the feeling that there's like a whole private washroom somewhere that everybody gets to use, and like probably if we were to, it's well known, we've documented here we are not necessarily everybody's favorite house guests, but I'm just saying that if you were to walk around this building, I get the feeling if you were to touch a wall somewhere, there's like a whole secret like a luxurious dining room here for the other employees that we're never told about. All right. Well, let me before we do anything else. Let me stop and breathe. All right. Jim Roop will be joining us here in a few. In the meantime, in between time, it is the official news person, president, prophet, seer, and revelator of the Rick Emerson Show. He is Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, it's bad news. The search is over for James Kim, the San Francisco man who became stranded from his family in southern Oregon. Josephine County Undersheriff Brian Anderson broke down as he tried to tell gathering reporters that Kim's body was found shortly after noontime today. OSP spokesman Lieutenant Greg Hastings, also working, kept his emotions in check, took over the news conference and confirmed the news. Arrangements are being made to transport the body, which was reportedly spotted by air, to an undisclosed location. The family is in seclusion and requested privacy. Hastings told reporters that the family had been champions and had been fully supported by all search parties. He reiterated the officers' thoughts and prayers have been with the family ever since day one.
This is actually on topic, so we can take this. Jeff, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Yes.
All right, now, I'm looking at the screen. Now, are you being kooky or is this real, what you're saying?
Nope, I have been stuck on that road before myself.
All right, I should clarify that it actually says on the screen that you are currently stuck on the same road that James Kim was stuck on.
I've been stuck on that road. There's no perception out there.
All right, okay. So you now, whereabouts geographically, if I was looking at the state from above or the West Coast from above, like on a map, where is this road?
If you draw a line basically from Gold Beach to Grants Pass, mm-hmm, through Agnes, that's basically where that takes you.
All right. And so how did you get on this road that he was stuck on? Was it an accident or did you intentionally drive down it?
Well, I did a search on one of my mapping programs for the shortest distance between Grants Pass and Gold Beach, and it said that there was a road there, and, well, it's really just a logging road.
The shortest road, by the way, the shortest distance is never the way you want to go, ever. The shortest distance never leads anywhere good.
I learned that lesson.
Yeah. And so how badly did you, was this in wintertime?
No, actually, it was in April.
How did you get stuck there? Was it mud, or what was the deal?
They don't take the roads. They don't ever plow them or anything.
Uh-huh.
The elevation actually is pretty high out there, and the snowdrifts just pile up, and I was actually driving along, and the road dips, but the snowdrift made it look like it was level.
Uh-huh.
I'm doing about 40, and I just go pile right into a snowdrift, and I sit in the car in the middle of nowhere out
damn.
There.
Damn. That sucks. And how long did it take you to get out? How did you get out of it?
Yeah, actually, it's funny. It took me 6 hours to get out, and I had to use a road sign to lever the car off of where it was high-centered.
Mm.
Move it back and forth.
And, I mean, and that's in April where it's not plunging to, like, 20 degrees when the sun goes down.
No, it wasn't too bad, so I can't imagine what it would have been like for them out there.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. That's Jeff who's been stuck on that same road. Let's do one more from Tim Riley, then we'll be joined by Jim Roop from Los Angeles.
Well, two Swedish border control officers risk disciplinary action for keeping a photo collection of exceptionally beautiful women who pass through their checkpoint.
Well, that makes me feel good.
The officers are working at a ferry terminal near Stockholm. They made photocopies of women's passport photos and placed them in a binder. They also noted the date of birth next to each entry. The binder contained instructions how to compile the collection and orders to make backup copies in case the binder would go missing or be confiscated by evil-minded boars.
Yes, you don't. Yeah, you don't want to lose that. It's like backing up your porn. Just be really careful about that.
And there were also explicit instructions stating only exceptionally beautiful women belonged in the collection, and that no personal data aside from the date of birth should be included.
Of course, but keep in mind that that thing that they're X-raying your genitals with in Phoenix, there's no way that those photos could ever fall into the wrong hands or be saved in any way. You know, the thing that nobody has ever adequately explained about that Arizona X-ray thing they have at the airport is they're claiming that the photos can't be seen by anybody else, they're instantly deleted. If they can't be seen, saved, transported, processed, bought, sold, what good are they then? Because like if you're trying to walk through with a screwdriver hidden next to your penis, and they're X-raying you and they find it, well, you just move it and say, like, no, it was in my pocket, I forgot about it, or whatever. What proof do they have? It seems like for that to be any good at all in a court of law, they have to be able to save the photograph, which they claim that they can't. Bunch of lying bastards is what they are.
It's got to be stopped.
Sons of bitches. Yes, it must be stopped. Revolution now. Here's Jim Roop in Los Angeles. Ow! I love LA. Hello, Jim Roop. How are you, sir?
Oh, very good afternoon to you, sir.
How's life? How are things? You're back from covering the fire?
Yeah. I was at NASA today. They think they found water on Mars. But most importantly, I think I'm going to apply for a job as a Swedish Border Patrol agent.
Seriously, that's clearly where all the action is happening. And, you know, Sweden, you just get those weird 9-foot-tall blonde chicks that come through there.
Okay, by me.
Hey, so this water on Mars thing, is that really, did you just come from that?
Yeah, but, you know, they qualify by saying, look, it just looks like it might be. We still have to verify if that could take
place. I knew it.
But they're calling it significant because, I mean, if you take a look at the before and after, what's most significant about all this is that in photographs taken in 1999 and 2001, 2005, they show a certain landscape on the planet. And then the newest photos that are in, there's definite changes in the landscape, whether it's a meteor hit, big craters forming, or whether it's this, what looks like some sort of liquid water flow. It's the coloration, it's the fact that this gully has formed. They don't know how it has. It's away from any of the volcanic, if there is volcanic activity on Mars, it's away from those regions where that would be. So they're calling this very significant. Could change the way we kind of look at Mars now, and at least the way we will explore it in the future.
I'm just so... You were just reciting, that was the most can't... Hello, who is that? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm distracted by a woman that's on Sarah's computer screen. Is that somebody who wants to be a new special friend of mine? Who is that?
I think that's the girl that's going to play J-Lo in that new spoof porn.
Oh, J-Ho?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's calling herself J... there is a new... I'm sorry, Jim. This happens sometimes. Sarah is sort of the official gossip monger on the Rick Emerson show. And one of the upshots of that is I'm in here attempting to entertain the people. And Sarah's, you know, doing what she does best. She's looking for news, finding tidbits, things that the people will find interesting. But every so often, she'll just be scrolling through these gossip websites, and they'll just be a picture of some incredibly hot woman that'll suddenly fill the screen. And you know how men are. It's just bright, shiny objects, or in this case, sort of round, fleshy objects. And they just sort of fill the screen, and suddenly your whole brain just goes blank like Teflon.
Yeah, I understand.
All right. No, so there's a new Jennifer Lopez satire porn coming out, a character called J-Ho. I can't say what the title is. I will simply say that it rhymes with Jenny from the Block.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
That was a great sound right there. Oh, yeah. All right. Anyway, does Jenny Hogan from Coin call herself J-Ho? Scotty, is that true? Tell me she doesn't really call herself J-Ho. Jenny Hogan, who is the news. It's really true? Man, she's from Australia. Who knows what the hell those people do down there? All right. Well, anyway, so let's talk about, speaking of nothing having to do with Mars, I'm just going to say about Mars, and I know that here's what's going to happen. You and I are going to talk about Mars today, and then tomorrow the prep sheet's going to come down. But Jim Roop is talking about Mars, and then we'll book you for that, and I'll have to pretend that it's all brand new.
Tomorrow it'll be Grammy nominations. Tomorrow morning it'll be Grammy nominations.
Oh, excellent. Well, then I'll just say this about Mars. This about that. I've just been so jaded about this. I don't really care about space all that much, but it's like every 3 or 4 years there's some sort of, we've discovered plants on Venus, and then it turns out it's just like some guy thumbprint smudge on the camera.
Well, I got to tell you, though, it was pretty cool. At JPL, you know, they shot these big pictures up on this giant screen, so, I mean, it really was kind of cool that there's what they used to think, was stuff formed billions of years ago when water flowed on that planet billions of years ago. They're thinking, well, maybe water flows today, you know, so it was pretty cool, actually, being there to see all that shown to us.
All right, well, I'm going to hold my energy in reserve. I will be excited at the appropriate time.
Woo-hoo.
Thank you. Let's talk about a guy that I'd never heard of until about 3 days ago, and now we're all instant experts on him because it looks like he was in a car with some drunk 15-year-old girls.
Garrison?
Blaine Garrison.
Yeah.
And so he's on, although I understand now that he's not really the star of Prison Break. He's sort of third man from the left on that show.
Yeah.
But that's less interesting.
He's an also-ran.
Yes, but it's more interesting to call him a star, so we can immediately then crucify him publicly. So what is it? Sarah says that there are a bunch of photos of this guy, like, pounding down shots at a party before he decided to go get more booze while drunk. And just to be on the safe side, he thought he'd load up the car with teenagers who were also drinking.
He has been known to be a partier. He has been in little fender benders before. So a lot of the photos that are being circulated are photos that have been out there for a while or are of him from incidents before this. Be that as it may, what his lawyer is saying, what the party line is saying, is that he was going to meet up with somebody else that night. He wound up meeting these three teenagers who he thought were older, at some Beverly Hills grocery store. They asked him to accompany them to a party. He said, sure, get in, let's go. They went to this party. He had one, maybe two drinks top over a couple of hour period. He then said, let's get out of here. I'll drop you guys back off at the grocery store. And on the way, dropping them to the grocery store is when they ran into the tree.
Okay, so that is the party line.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, just in your capacity as journalist, does this have...
I was thinking.
What's that?
I think he was thinking drunk.
I was going to say, does this have what they call the ring of truth to it to you?
No.
No.
Not based on this guy's past. I mean, he's been in trouble with the law before. He's got a little bit of a record as a juvenile. I think he's not squeaky clean.
He's not one of God's shining examples
of humanity.
Well,
for me to believe, with the minimal amount of fame he has right now, too, and everybody recognizing him and all that stuff, that he wasn't, he didn't have more than just two drinks over a 3 hour period. Yeah, I don't believe that.
Seriously, I mean, God, man, I don't know how old
this
guy...
they found alcohol in his car.
And were the kids drinking too, these teenagers?
They won't say.
Yeah, well, that's a yes. I'm saying that as pundit. I am now making things up and purporting them to be true. It seems likely because here's how we knew it was weird, because when this story first happened, the first story we heard is that, like, well, maybe they were family members or something like that. I guess that's what it was. I guess it was that they wouldn't describe the relationship between him and, like, the two 15-year-old girls. And that's how immediately I knew that they were some chicks he'd picked up at, like, you know, the Greyhound station or something, because if they had been family members, they would immediately have said that.
Yeah.
I mean, it just it, there is a thing called avoiding the appearance of impropriety, and which means that even if you're not engaged in some sort of sordid behavior, it does seem like having a bunch of booze driving around open containers, you're drunk, and you're a celebrity, and you're in a car with two 15-year-old girls at the same time. It just doesn't look good. So
Now, again, he claims he thought they were older based on their appearance, but if you've seen pictures of this kid that was killed,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he looks like a 12-year-old.
Yeah, I mean, and even if you are a celebrity, I'm not just trying to make light of this as such. I'm just saying it seems like a you checking IDs. There's no shame in that. It's not like you can't be Jerry Lee Lewis and be a 13-year-old anymore. Those days have gone.
They should give anybody who begins to acquire some sort of fame or celebrity, they should give them a handbook. Here's how to avoid being talk show fodder.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Do you want... Okay, now listen, Jim Roop. Now, Rick Emerson doesn't give these ideas away very... Well, that's not true. I give these ideas away all the time. I am just saying, though... Let me ask you this as a side note. Wait, I'm going to put a pin in this, and I'm going to put a pin in this other thought, and I'm going to come back to this and just... I'm going to get your opinion on something. Rick Emerson needs your opinion. You know what you should do? Because, you know, Lisa Goddard did that thing, I don't know, 6 months or so ago, you know, is the national deficit sexy? Where she did some big story about the national deficit. And McCarthy did one on Katrina and blah, blah, blah. You ought to do a Jim Roop investigative special. How not to ruin your celebrity. You ought to do, and it would be sort of entertaining, but sort of serious. You tie it together with this, with the Michael Richards thing, with Mel Gibson, with whatever. You ought to do a CNN special about, you know, celebrity fame 101 or whatever, about how not to destroy your career in the course of one ill-planned night.
You know, that's not a bad idea. I mean, I could even start with tomorrow at the Grammy nominations. Just start talking to stars about how do you avoid... You know, becoming front page news.
Yeah, because, I mean, and I really am serious about this. This is a thing that CNN could really market as some sort of a, not that you guys, you know, have to be fluffy, but I mean, you know, this is sort of a contrast to some of the darker, some of the more heavy news that sometimes you guys have to do. This is sort of holiday season. It's an interesting topic. Because you think about certain celebrities, George Clooney comes to mind. He sort of actively hates the tabloids and has done a lot to deliberately throw them off the path. But I mean, that's a guy who doesn't, not a lot of dirt on that guy. Take somebody else. The person I always think of is Jodie Foster, because Jodie Foster is very famous. She's world famous, very celebrated, famous since she was 12, I think, whenever she was in Taxi Driver. She was a copper tone model, I think. She was became famous very young. You never read dirt on her. You never read, and you know, nobody's perfect. Everybody has their feelings. But, you know, I don't ever pick up the Inquirer and see her on the front page whatever.
The digs dirt up about Jodie Foster is Paris Hilton. Yeah.
But that's just, well, she's in the closet. You know, and he's got his own issues with that. I mean, she does a very good job of not... she's obviously, you know, nobody's a saint, nobody's perfect, but she doesn't get splashed all over the front of the Star magazine. The worst they can ever say about her is that, you know, well, we want to know more about her sex life. Well, you know, whatever, get in line. I mean, you know, there's lots of people I can say that about. You really ought to maybe think, there is a special there, and again, that you're in L.A., the content falls at your feet. You just find out how certain people stay off the front page.
That's a great idea.
I'm telling you, man, and I if you receive like a Peabody for that, you don't even need to share it with me. Final thought, Jim Roop, I know you're a busy man. I will ask you this. Here's an idea I had about an hour and a half ago. Tell me what you think about this.
All right.
It's an hour-long television special, and the hour-long television special, you put it together sort of Borat style, it's an hour-long television special in which Michael Richards walks from California to New York, and just knocks on houses and apologizes to black people one by one. He just knocks on the door. A black family comes to the door. He says, "Hello, I'm Michael Richards. You may have heard about some unpleasantness. I chose my words poorly. I, Michael Richards, am here to apologize to you, black American. I am sorry." And then he gives him like a fruit basket, poses for photos, gives him a little autographed Seinfeld DVD. You know, they say goodbye. He's off to the next house. You film that. You edit it together. It's a one-hour special.
Yeah, that's funny. I like that.
I'm telling you, see, I should be one of those crisis counselors they bring in to fix your career when you've been photographed at a Klan meeting or something. Not that I want to defend Klansmen. You know what I'm saying, though? People get into trouble in Hollywood. They you drive into a ditch. You pick up a prostitute who has a penis. Whatever. I should be the fixer. They should hire me to be one of those guys.
Yeah,
And we're
good
done.
Idea.
All right. Clearly, I've just squeezed this phone call for everything I possibly can.
Oh, no, I'm just thinking. I would love to see that show.
See? Jim Roop would watch it.
I would pay-per-view that.
That's what I'm saying. And I was going to make it a series, but Sarah pointed out you do one shot. You know, one shot, one-hour program. Michael Richards apologizes. And again, he just goes door-to-door in America, you know, and just apologizing to all black Americans or a representative sample, one by one, and then signs a DVD for them, and then he moves on.
And at the very end, he has to sit before a panel of Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, and one of the other guys around here in L.A., maybe Earl Hutchison or something.
Yeah.
He has to give them a report.
Yeah, and he has to do what I learned today, and what I did on my summer vacation.
Yeah. All right. How do you feel better?
It's gold, Jim Roop. So you and I together, my friend, you and I could revolutionize broadcasting in this country.
You can. I'll just do what you tell me.
Fantastic. See, why can't I have more people who answer questions that way? All right. Jim Roop, my friend, enjoy your Southern California afternoon. We will speak to you soon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim Roop. Thank you.
I should totally hit up Jim Roop when I'm in L.A.
Oh, totally.
He's in town.
You, if nothing else, you got to go by that CNN building there and just say, hey, because Laura and I forgot to do that when we were in L.A. It was a Saturday anyway, so. Yeah, you totally should do that. Fantastic. Hit the post right there. That's what I did. We're going to come back. Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Mike is at 3. Don and Mike at 7. The Rick Emerson radio program. Don't go anywhere.
There you are.
You're going to take me to Super Save tomorrow because I have a sale.
Go there for progress. This is delicious. So you're going to take me today to get a new toilet seat because mine got broken and was sliding. So I would fall off of it like a wolf. Do we have assistance, please, in row number one for toilet seat? Hello? Toilet seat assistance in row number one. Thank you.
Would you like a cookie? Chocolate flavor, very nutritious.
My daddy! My daddy! Oh! Oh, I want to see you! Oh! Oh! You are not my mother!
Do you like marshmallows?
I love marshmallows.
Me too!
Well, you'll have to excuse me because I have to use the bathroom.
No matter where you go, if you try to run or hide or anything, the moon will always find you. It's only the watch. Find the back! Come on!
Will Smith is very hot too. If he was here right now, Rachel, do you know what I would do to him?
Something's wrong! Rachel, something's wrong!
That's nice.
You're weird.
So are you.
Jesus Christ.
Who made that?
I don't know.
I can't believe you had to ask me if you would have to bleep anything that a mentally retarded Rosie O'Donnell on a Hallmark movie was saying.
That's from Todd the Corpse, by the way. Thank you, Todd the Corpse. He says, Rick, here's a minute and a half of Rosie O'Donnell screaming her way through riding the bus with my sister. I don't know what mentally retarded people Rosie has been around, but apparently they all scream at the top of their lungs when talking. Signed.
That is exactly like the woman.
Thank you.
No, she talked in the same tone, very loud, no inflection change. She was just
one volume level.
All about cat food, and then went off on cat food, and then spaghetti.
And just she just had no middle gear.
No.
We have to get a new toilet seat. I got broke.
Excellent.
There you are. You're gonna take me to Super Save tomorrow because I have a sale.
You're there for progress. This is delicious. So you're gonna take me today to get a new toilet seat because mine got broken. And
I wish I was high right now.
So I would fall off of it like a wolf. Do we have assistance, spoil the room number one for toilet seat? Hello? Toilet seat assistance and room number one. Thank you.
Jesus Christ.
Would you like a cookie? Chocolate flavor. Very nutritious. My daddy! Where's my daddy? Boo! I want to see you! Well, you'll have to excuse me because I have to use the bathroom. No matter where you go, if you're trying to run or hide or anything, your mom will always find you. It's only the watch. Find the bus! Come on!
Will Smith is very hot, too. If he was here right now, Rachel, do you know what I would do to him?
Something's wrong! Rachel, something's wrong!
Nice.
You're weird.
So are you.
Thank you. All right. There's really nowhere to go from there.
I have nothing to say.
I have no response to that.
Tim's still here?
I think we may have driven him away. Yeah, in a moment we will rejoin the Ministry of Truth for today's... Well, same thing. I feel so ashamed. Not really. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the newsman, president, prophet, seer, and revelator of the Rick Emerson Show.
It's Tim Riley!
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Okay, bad news this afternoon. The body of that San Francisco man missing since Saturday has been found. He is dead. Oregon State Police say rescue crews found the body of 35-year-old James Kim around noontime today. His body was found lying face down in a heavily wooded area just miles from where his family car was. State Police spokesman Lieutenant Greg Hastings thanked them for their support.
But this obviously is extremely tough on those that have an emotional commitment throughout these last several days here. And we truly support all that they've done for us. The support that they've given us, the words of encouragement, have just been unbelievable.
Hastings told reporters at a hastily arranged press conference that efforts to find the missing CNET journalists have been exhaustive.
And the commitment by those involved in the search for Katie, for the kids, and for James has gone nonstop, around the clock, determined...
You know, my whole goal as I live in this world is just to never be one of those people that is responsible for, like, you know, 5 days worth of 1,000 people combing the state. You remember, it's like that. Remember that guy, that idiot that got caught in the... I think he was an idiot. It's so hard to remember after a period of time. That I'm pretty sure he was an idiot, but that guy that fell into the crevasse on the side of the mountain, and then the helicopter crashed trying to get him out, the Black Hawk helicopter, remember
that? We were live that day.
We were, and we were
watching that.
And it was just the worst.
Yeah.
I mean, time has passed, so I can relay what was going through our head, because there was this guy...
It was live.
Yeah, it was live on television.
Big Black Hawk helicopter.
There was a guy, he was on the side of mountain, and he had fallen into the... or jumped. He'd done something stupid, and he'd fallen into a crevasse. And they set up a Black Hawk helicopter to get him, and... You know, the mountain is angled, of course, and the Black Hawk helicopter is there, and the helicopter hits the side of the... And Tim and I are just sort of... And the helicopter is going in now to rescue him, and all is going to be fine. This long national ordeal has come to... Everything's going to be... Everything has turned to the happy ending at last. And then we just... And then suddenly the helicopter hits the mountain... And it is dead. Everybody dead. Right there in the middle of the news. And they had just spent days... combing the mountains for this guy and trying to get him out. And just, yeah, my goal is to never, never be that guy.
Meanwhile, the U.S. Senate has confirmed Robert Gates, the president's choice to be defense secretary. Well, he can't be that bad. Ted Kennedy likes him.
Senator that has been sorely missing from the Department of Defense under the administration. He recognized the high price that our troops are paying for the current policy. He clearly stated that we are not winning in Iraq and that all options for a way forward are on the table.
And I was talking to Lisa Goddard about this, and how low the bar has been set for political integrity, that the fact that he just tells, like, you know, he kind of tells the truth. It's just, I mean, you know, it just surpasses everything Rumsfeld ever did. So.
Yes, Kennedy indeed is impressed with Gates' vow of continued candor.
You assured me personally that you would speak candidly, frankly, and boldly to people at both ends of Pennsylvania Avenue about what he believes and what he thinks needs to be done.
All right, there you go. Thank you, Ted Kennedy.
An Argentine doctor who used the homes of wealthy Beverly Hills residents to inject clients with illicit anti-wrinkle chemicals gets 18 full months in federal prison. Daniel Thomas Ferrantes, sentenced today. 2 years after he was arrested, he gave illegal injections at various places, including parties, for up to 30 wealthy clients of cocktails who were injected with silicone smuggled into the U.S. His clients include Lionel Richie, Richie's ex-wife Diane, Sean King, one of Larry King's ex-wives. He charged thousands of dollars for injections of substances consistent with industrial-grade silicone used to lubricate auto parts.
I don't understand.
Industrial-grade silicone used to lubricate auto parts.
But when you said, see, where is he at? Mexico?
Beverly Hills.
Oh, I guess I just always assume these things happen in Mexico.
Always talk with an exotic accent if you want to get into the homes of the rich and famous.
I have come bearing a surprise gift. This is a traditional method of in the retaining beauty they use in the old country.
Let me kiss your hand.
And so he was injecting industrial strength silicone.
Auto, right.
Auto silicone into their faces?
Well, they didn't squeak.
Mr. Richie, you squeak, but you don't squeak after I'm done with this.
Man, we got to get that. Sarah, do you still have my action DVD?
I think you do. I believe you do, because it's not at my house. And you're the only person I gave it to.
Then I do.
Okay, not a big deal. I'm just saying at some point I got to get it back so I can take up that doctor, the Beverly Hills doctor. There's this great, I'm not going to replicate the whole joke, but there's that great thing where that actress has got to lose like 50 pounds in 5 minutes or something, and he's got that liposuction where, you know, she walks,
so
in,
wrong.
She walks in weighing 200 pounds, and she walks out about an hour later weighing like 120. It hurt like hell! So there you go. So don't get industrial strength auto lube injected into your head, apparently.
Paris Hilton wants to have kids and have them soon. It's been my dream to have four babies before 30. She's 25 now. Explaining her qualifications for motherhood, she explained, I look after animals.
Really?
Yes.
Was that honestly her explanation?
I have look after animals.
I have a chinchilla.
What?
How different could it be? God, I hate her.
Okay. Adrienne Curry is discussing her decision to go under the knife. The former America's Top Model, now married to Christopher Knight, had surgery to fix breasts that were different sizes. She talks about her procedure to Us Weekly. When I woke up, I was screaming in pain, and they shot me up with morphine. Later, I was described Valium, but I think I was addicted to cocaine and heroin as a teenager, so they didn't affect me. Despite the pain, the details she shares are regarding how she got help. She talks about how she went to the bathroom also. She says she's happy with the procedure because it's amazing to look down and think, oh, God, I don't have deformed boobs anymore.
The bar is set so low for happiness. I guess
so she won America's Next Top Model with deformed boobs?
Apparently so.
Who were the other contestants? Were the other contestants blobs of protoplasm? Who else was competing on the program? Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? You can have deformed boobs and win. I'm not never watching.
Yeah, your boobs can be different sizes. Is that what she was...
No. That was really by accident. I guess what I'm saying is, how can you have deformed boobs, her words, and win America's Next Top Model? Who else is competing? Ernest Borgnine? I mean, really, who do you... How ugly is the person you're standing next to that lets you win a modeling competition?
Now, I've watched the shows with her on it, and I never noticed any deformed boobs. They just notice that they're big.
Will Smith is very hot, too. If he was here right now, Rachel, do you know what I would do to him? Something's wrong! Rachel, something's wrong!
That's nice.
You're weird.
It just hurts my soul. The whole thing.
It's the afternoon ride home on TriMet.
Rick, we need to start Talk Like a Retard Day. By the way, that reminds me, when is the next Rick Emerson listener party? Ha ha. Rick, Building off your idea from Michael Richards' cross-country apology fest, maybe you could put an element of urgency behind his journey, like a time limit or racing with Andy Dick, or simply have Louis Farrakhan chasing him. And the title is The Amazing Racist.
That is the music.
Thank you, sir. Yeah. Let's, Mark, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey.
Hi.
I just heard that Paris Hilton thing. I had to comment.
Yes.
If she takes care of kids anyway, the same way she takes care of animals, as soon as she has the next kid, the previous one is just going to, you know, magically disappear.
Well, I mean, that is true, because you never see her with the same exotic pet twice.
Yeah, because yes. her dog got too big for her, so then she just traded in her dog for a smaller one.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, Michael She's Jackson has that problem with his kids, so you don't want to, I mean, that's the, yeah, Paris Hilton, I mean, it just seems like she really is just some aberration of the universe that you think that the universe would have corrected itself by now and somehow gotten rid of her. That's all I'm saying. All right, thank you. All right, here's Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, tomorrow's the big day that the Grammy nominations come out at 8:30 a.m. Pacific time.
Woo!
On hand to announce them will be Corrine Bailey Ray, Rascal Fats, Chris Brown, and KT Turnstile. Tomorrow's nominations will also feature a performance by the Las Vegas bass band Mosaic. This is the 49th Annual Grammy Awards. It's going to air live in Los Angeles at the Staples Center February 11th on CBS.
Fantastic.
Columbia Broadcasting System.
No one will watch.
No.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, let's now go to the... what am I doing here? Let's do the weekly radio address from our good friends at The Onion, and we'll come back and wrap things up. Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen, greatest newsman in the history of all the world.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, I know you have a bit of driving to do. We will see you tomorrow. Drive safe, my friend.
I certainly will.
Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen. Move you into deep storage. I'm just going to read this email. Dude, Aaron's mom is hot. Thank you, sir. It's 503-733-2970. Rick, this is from earlier in the day before the sad truth became known. I was mentioning that it might be too soon for this. I was mentioning that the story of James Kim was a sob story. He asked at 11:20 today, he asked, will the sob story leave us in gears? Yeah, that's too soon. Let's see. Scarlett Johansson nude scene, I never got to that. Rick, you have totally got me hooked on the sounder. Why, Helen? Why do you do these things? I finally figured out what it's from, and ever since then you haven't played it a single time. Pleased to be playing my sounder for me, just for me. P.S. Absolutely love your show. Deanna. Let's see.
Well, you should play it.
Well, do I even have it? That's the thing now. Wait. Oh, now I don't even know where it is. What do you mean to play it followed by the... Scotty, why are you so into me playing the horse sound today? All right, so let's see. Helen, this is for you.
Why, Helen?
Deanna.
Why do you do these things?
I stepped on it. Let me do it one more time, and then we'll be done.
Why, Helen? Why do you do these things?
All right, there you go. Scotty's been, you all don't get to see this kind of stuff. Scotty's been badgering me via the screen today, endlessly, to play the horse sounder.
Why?
Because he finds it strangely...
arousing?
Well, those are your words, Sarah Dillon, not mine.
Maybe his once or twice a year is coming up.
Oh.
What?
That's unfortunate. Yeah, I don't even know where the... Oh, wait. There you go. You happy? What? No, he was demanding. Rick, after the Nutcracker signing, can we play the cornhole game? Thank you. What else do we have? Thank you! I do that scarily well, I think. Rick, pleased to be updating Sarah's email on your website. I tried to send her some thoughts on Top Model, and it kicked back. Since I'm not a 12-year-old girl, I don't have a MySpace page.
I've been asking you for 3 years to change my email address. I haven't had that email address in so long.
Your current email address for the listeners to contact you is?
Sarah@970.am.
Okay, I will have... I was just talking to Joni DeRoshi last night, actually, about tweaking the webpage. I will have her fix that. My apologies.
Think of how many guests and things that we've probably missed because you haven't changed it.
I'm sorry.
Whatever.
Rick, about your, you were demanding a Jesus rhyme because they were trying to keep Jesus figurine from being stolen from nativities. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus is glued at the head. Thank you. I'm just working my way through these emails because I don't want to get to them. If I try to get to them tomorrow, all of these stories about these. Oh, good God. Rick, when I was a kid, my family would pick up a pair of mentally retarded sisters to bring to church. As you know, this is going to be a great story. I can already tell. As you know, children and even some adults tend to get a bit uncomfortable about people around. I'm sorry. As you know, children and even some adults tend to get a bit uncomfortable around people with mental handicaps. I vividly remember sitting in the middle of the front car seat with the two sisters behind me in the back. They would constantly pet me and try to rub my back because they were somehow fascinated by kids, and I would get in trouble if I tried to stop them rubbing and patting my head. It was so uncomfortable and awkward. The story doesn't go anywhere, but I'm getting flashbacks. Rick, I used to work for... This is another email. I used to work for a major hotel that would sponsor a weekend retreat for retarded citizens. Great for managers, not so good for me, the pool guy who had to try and keep the pool water to state quality standards. I had to empty the hot tubs every day, and in the end, I had to... In the end, I had to close them because so many of the retarded citizens peed in the hot tub that the chemical systems couldn't keep the water safe for using. The swimming pool wasn't much better, Rick. Having one of them and none left a name to... Having one of them put their... Oh, God. Having one of them, who I never found because they didn't leave a name tag, put their number two business in the topside filter basket, rendered a 50,000-gallon swimming pool a cesspool instead. Robert. All right, let's now with the whole...
postman is the person in your neighborhood.
We'll talk to Mike here really... Well, let's just quickly... Mike, yes, did you have a brief observation?
Yeah, I went to New Seasons to pick up some Viso, and noticed they got about 16 bottles of Moxie.
Really?
Seriously.
We should keep that around just to punish people with. Thank you, sir, for tipping us up. New Seasons, and you went there to buy what?
Viso.
Which you heard advertised where?
On the Rick Emerson Show.
God bless you, sir. Mike, thank you, sir. All right, there. That's Mike. Attention, advertisers. You, too, could have this the thing in there with the deal. Mailman Chris, hello, sir.
Thank you for at least giving me a buffer. So my segue wasn't the story of someone putting their feces in the topside filter compartment. How is your day going?
Oh, man, it's the best day ever.
You know, Rick Emerson talks a big talk, but I don't think Rick Emerson can deliver. Because Rick Emerson said that Rick Emerson was going to post the greatest link ever, and he didn't do that.
Oh, no, I did. That is posted on the website right now. That I did do. Because, now just to real quickly, on Monday, I think, Rick Emerson posted the second best website you were ever going to go to. Which
this is the last day you're going to do that, by the way.
Okay.
Which is... Get it all out.
Hot pictures of Aaron's mom, Selma Hayek. So there's that. That's the second one. The best site ever is the one I posted last night. It is technically speaking safe for work because there is no nudity. But I'm not even going to tell you what it is. But I got some emails this morning, people who literally, I think that they were ready to give me their firstborn child because of the site I posted this morning. And it is not a porn site. There's no nudity, no sex, really, to speak. Not really. It is, though, the greatest thing you have ever seen in your life. So that's Rick Emerson did post that.
Okay, so Rick Emerson got to that. But Rick Emerson did not give any TV viewing advice. Rick Emerson did not take part in any scientific studies. And Rick Emerson didn't read anything from the Inquirer.
But
Rick Emerson did discuss Lane Garrison. Is that Mr. Garrison or is that, you know,
yes.
Just wondering.
Yes.
Mr. Hat involved in that.
Yeah, and Mr. Twig was not there either, yeah.
You did discuss that, so that's three you didn't get. That puts you at 66, buddy.
66, that sucks. That's ass is what that is. All right, well, you know, it was worth it. It was a strong day, though. I feel okay about today. I really do. All right, my friend. And I had something I was going to ask you. Somebody had some mail question, but you know what? It's just my brain has gone to mush today. So Anyway, all right. And so I'm at 66. So we will get to, I don't know. I'll try to get to some of this other stuff tomorrow. All right. Thank you, sir.
Talk to you tomorrow.
There's a mailman, Chris, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Let me see if I have any more of these I want to get to here. Rick, we'll just touch briefly on the bartending thing.
Yes.
Now I'm just looking at the screen. I bartended an upscale restaurant in Lake Oswego. $200 a night. I serve hot 30-something rich, lonely divorcees who love nothing more than emptying their wallets on a 25-year-old holding a bottle of Grey Goose. Call them sweetie, check their ID to flatter them, pour them a stiff one, and their ex-husband's money is as good as yours. Plus, it's the only job where you can be a dick right back at the a-hole customer. Zach, your bartender in the Beav. All right. Rick, whoever said that about bus 14 is right. I only wrote it once, and that was enough. While waiting at the stop a block from Fred Meyer, a disgusting man put his arms around me and started hugging me. He hadn't bathed in years.
I've met that guy, too.
He was on the phone, or I was on the phone at the time with my daughter, a daughter who I've tried to convince that riding the bus is relatively safe. I began screaming into the phone, help me, get away from me. I will not be riding the 14 bus again. Thank you for being there for us, Carol in Lake Oswego. And finally, a couple years back, I rode the bus when two handicapped gentlemen rode it. They spent their mornings on the bus licking their hands and then touching everything they could find. I still see them from time to time and always wonder if what I touch, they've touched as well.
Oh, gross.
There you go. The more you know. Knowing is half the battle, kids. Okay. Coming up tomorrow on the Rick Emerson Show, Peter Carlin will be joining us for the Oregonian. We meant to get him on Monday. It didn't really happen. So, Peter Carlin from the Oregonian. Tomorrow we'll talk Grammys with Jim Roop. Grammy! With Jim Roop and Jazz Hands. And other things as well. I will get to the scientific study tomorrow because it is fantastic. And it does sort of dovetail with some things we love anyway. I want to thank Lisa Goddard, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop, Ed McCarthy, the Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM970 Solid State Radio. Tim Riley is our newsman, prophet, seer, revelator, and president extraordinaire. Scotty J is the PA, manager of the Rick Emerson Office East, is Dave Zinn. Like us next, Donna Mike at 7. See y'all tomorrow at 11. As always, my friends, don't let the bastards grind it down. Thank you for listening. Be safe. See y'all tomorrow. Bye.